In this first pact, the emphasis was on religion and ethics, and there was, as yet, no political commitment. When the pilgrims returned to Yathrib, they took with them Mus'ab ibn Umayyah, a trusted Muslim, to instruct the people of Yathrib in their new faith. This was a wise move. Tribal hatred was so intense in the oasis that neither Aus nor Khazraj could bear to hear a rival leading the prayers or reciting the Quran, so it was important that these offices were performed by a neutral outsider. At first, the Aus were antagonistic to the faith, but gradually the power of the Quran broke down their reserves. One day, Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, chief of one of the leading Aus clans, was horrified to hear that Mus'ab was preaching in his territory, so he dispatched his second in command to drive him away, who bore down on the little group, brandishing his lance, and asked the Muslim how he had the temerity to spread these lies among weak, foolish people. But instead of retaliating with jahili rage, Mus'ab quietly asked him to sit down and judge for himself. The deputy agreed, stuck his lance in the ground, and, as he listened to the recitation, his face changed. "What wonderful and beautiful discourse this is," he cried. "What does one do to enter this religion?" After he had proclaimed his faith in Allah and prostrated himself in prayer, he went back to report to his chief. Sa'd was furious, grasped his own lance, and marched off to confront Mus'ab himself, only to be overwhelmed in his turn by the Quran. He then summoned his people and asked them to follow him. Trusting his leadership implicitly, the entire clan converted en masse. The news of Sa'd's dramatic about-face made a great impression on other chiefs, who began to take Mus'ab more seriously. It was not long before there were Muslims in almost every family in the oasis. In Mecca, Muhammad's preaching mission had stalled, largely because the Quraysh could not believe that such an ordinary person could become the messenger of Allah. But conditions in Yathrib were different. Muhammad was no commonplace fellow who could be seen strolling around the marketplace and eating and drinking like anybody else, but a remote, mysterious figure whose coming was eagerly anticipated. In Mecca, Muhammad's teaching threatened to damage the cult of the Haram, which was crucial to the economy. But there was no sanctuary full of idols in Yathrib. Not everybody was enamoured of the new faith, however. Ibn Ubay naturally feared that his position was being undermined. Others were still committed either to the old paganism or to the Hanifiyya, but at this stage the opposition was muted. If the new prophet really could solve the problems of Yathrib, there might be some material advantage to be gained from him. The Jewish tribes were also prepared to give Muhammad the benefit of the doubt, especially since the Muslims honoured their prophets and had adopted some of their own customs. Muhammad had recently introduced some new practices. As a result of the night journey, perhaps, Muslims now prayed facing the direction, or Qibla, of Jerusalem, reaching out to the holy city of the people of the book. Muhammad had also instructed Mus'ab to hold a special prayer meeting on Friday afternoon, while the Jews were preparing for their Sabbath, and to fast with the Jews on Yom Kippur. Muslims would now pray in the middle of the day, as the Jews did, and observe a modified version of the Jewish dietary laws, similar to those adopted by the early Christians.